You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For decades, the agricultural industry, particularly dairy farming, has been damaging New Zealand's environment. And new legislation aiming to protect our rivers and wetlands is coming into action. However, some groups have been wary of these changes, believing it will negatively impact the industry and its economic contributions. In response, a study was commissioned by Forest and Bird, Greenpeace and Fish and Game to understand the economic impacts of this new freshwater legislation, if any. To find out more about the legislation and the report, I spoke to Forest and Bird's Annabeth Cohen and began by asking why we even need this legislation in the first place.
The freshwater reform has come after decades of work with the agriculture industry to get them to clean up their act. We know that freshwater is in a wreck and ruin state across the country, and that's evidenced by, you know, all the places people can't swim without the risk of getting sick. 76% of our freshwater fish are at risk or threatened with extinction. All the wetlands that have been drained, not historically, but even recently in the last couple of decades, we're talking about wetlands drained to make fertile land for farming. And, you know, it's evidenced further by the drinking water that, you know, like, for example, in Canterbury that, you know, is potentially unsafe in a lot of places because of excess nitrates in the groundwater. And so, yeah, the country has been debating how to fix the problems with our freshwater environment for decades. We're all aware that there's just too much pollution, too many cows, too much fertilizer, too much irrigation. And so there's been impetus, you know, from the government, from the people to the government to fix this, to tighten the rules and regulations. And we've, you know, we've relied on dairying and the agriculture industry in general over the last decades to sort of self-police with weak rules at the regional council level. And the voluntary sort of fencing, planting, and farm plans have really failed. They haven't really turned this freshwater crisis around. You know, we're still looking at our freshwater in a really poor state. So the next logical step is really to strengthen the rules. We need national regulations that require compulsory action on behalf of the agriculture industry.
So what are the proposed freshwater reforms?
So the freshwater reforms, in my opinion, are nothing new or outrageous. It's something that we've been talking about for decades. They talk about fencing streams, so keeping cows, pigs, and deers out of streams. They talk about protecting wetlands. You know, this would be for the first time that we see meaningful regulations to protect wetlands. They're, for the first time, going to be looking at regulating the terrible practice of intensive winter grazing, which, you know, we've seen pictures and videos of cows up to their chests in mud and just really terrible conditions. But, you know, it's not all perfect. There are some issues with the regulations that are proposed. For example, the fencing setbacks or the distance between waterways that they're proposing is only 5 meters, which isn't, you know, it's something and it's an improvement, but it's not really enough to stop the pollution from just running right into the waterway. Wetlands that they're proposing to protect are, you know, wetlands that are above 500 square meters, which again is a major improvement from what we've seen. However, what about the small wetlands around the country that are smaller than 500 square meters? And then, you know, some details around the intensive winter grazing. So they're proposing a pugging depth of 20 centimeters. So that's the distance of that you could see a cow's hoof in mud, and 20 centimeters is actually quite deep. You would expect that if a paddock is that muddy, that it's going to be a lot of pollution and pretty unsafe for those cows. There's also some exemptions in there for hydroelectricity. So they're exempt from water quality standards and forestry, exempt from wetland protection. And so, you know, what I'm saying is that the regulations take a huge step forward. It's not where we need, you know, to be ultimately, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And so what we're trying to do is to see those proposed regulations strengthened even from what they've been proposed.
And what kind of steps would you like to see? Because as we've just talked about, it's not actually enough to actually prevent this pollution getting any, well, you know, getting worse. Like, it's a good step, but it's not quite enough. What would you like to see happening?
You know, we need to stick with the strong regulations that are proposed. So, you know, they've included some indicators like tracking and measuring sedimentation. That's something that hasn't been in there. That definitely needs to stay. They've proposed some nitrate levels that are very different to what they've been in the past. So the nitrate levels that have been sort of measured in the past by regional councils, the national bottom line, the acceptable bare minimum is what we call toxicity. So it's really actually a terrible place for fish in terms of oxygen content in the water. And what they're proposing now is a level that is much stronger, and that would represent something like ecological health, so something that would be a lot safer for fish to live and thrive in the water. And a lot of people have said, oh, well, that's pristine and that's too hard, and what do you want to see the whole country in a in the state of a national park? But actually the numbers that they're proposing is not pristine at all. It's actually it's a particular level of pollution that the fish can tolerate to live, and so it's just taking that step up from toxicity to health, but not anywhere near pristine. Pristine would be great in some places like a national park, but we don't expect that sort of a change. So, you know, as I said, some of the numbers need to come forward, you know, protecting more wetlands, having a less of a pugging depth, more of a distance between streams and fences, making sure that everyone's accountable, like hydroelectricity and forestry. And then last thing that we're really concerned about is farm plans and action plans. So there's proposals that farmers would write their own farm plans and that regional councils would write their own action plans. And while these are great initiatives put forward by the government to get everyone sort of acting together and going in the right direction, we would hate to see the regulations watered down and allowing more voluntary sort of measures. So we've seen voluntary self-policing in the last two decades, and that hasn't worked. So sure, go ahead with farm plans and action plans, but they need to be backed up with strong numbers, strong regulations. So keeping the pollution down, keeping the number of cows down and out of rivers, protecting all of our wetlands. You know, these are the basic things that we've been talking about for decades and we should be able to do.
Have these new regulations been well received by the farmers and the farming industry?
What's really interesting is there's been a split in the farming industry. So, you know, we've seen the likes of Dairy NZ and Fonterra, come out and say that there's, you know, some good stuff in here and some things that we've already been working on for the last, 7 to 10 years. And then you've seen the likes of Federated Farmers come out and say, oh, these regulations are throwing farmers into the tractor. my colleague, the CEO of Fish and Game said, you know, they're not being thrown into the tractor. They're being thrown a lifeline. And that's because what's being required here is to lift the game of the bottom line. So we know that there are poor performers out there, and those poor performers are giving farmers a bad name. And so by setting better bottom lines and having some basic requirements for how New Zealand does its farming, it means that no one's going to be dirtying the image of farming in New Zealand. You know, everyone's going to be doing what the majority of good farmers are doing out there.
Yes, so can we also talk about this report by the Economic Consultancy, New Zealand Institute of Economic Research, which your organisation, as well as Greenpeace and Fish and Game, commissioned, talking about the potential economic threat from these new freshwater rules. And what were the main findings of that?
So it's really interesting. The report's main finding was that, that there's not going to be a major national impact economically. There will be some costs and benefits, but we can expect that nationally there won't be, a major impact.
And also there was stated that farms can increase the economic returns and reduce the impact on the environment by focusing on profits instead of production. If you're able to speak to this, what exactly do they mean by focusing on profits for the farmers?
Yeah, so it's about getting the balance right. So what you've seen in the past decades, well, really since dairy has been intensifying, is about production of volume and not quality of product. It's about how do we get profits off of our products without just maximizing volume. So you've seen New Zealand being the major supplier in the world of milk powder, and that's seen a lot of the wreck and ruin to the freshwater environment, because it's just about churning out as much as you possibly can. But when you look at value add products, you potentially have more profit on your product because it has maybe a niche market or a market that's willing to pay more. So you take organics, for example, which has less of a footprint. It's not the answer to everything. Obviously, there are many ways to diversify the way we farm, but it's just one example which says, there's a market out there that's going to pay, you know, double what they would for the same product that wasn't produced that, and we know that there's less of an impact on the environment. So, you know, and that was another main finding of the report, is that while there's a lot of fear going on about change, we forget to mark the ability for the agriculture industry to innovate. And the agriculture industry is leading in innovation, you know, most times, and we've seen in the past. And New Zealand's agriculture has changed from sheep, you know, to beef, and now to dairy. And we've diversified with horticulture. And there's so much more that we can do, you know, with regards to innovation. So it's not about saying we have to end all dairying or we have to end all farming in New Zealand. It's about saying, how can we get the balance right so that we can, you know, not hurt the profits? Of course, we don't want to put anyone under. But we also recognize that if you can't do it within the means of what is acceptable for environmental protection, then maybe we're not doing the right thing in the right place.
Do you have any other comments just regarding the economic climate of the farming industry and I guess just going forward into a more environmental focused economy?
I think it's about accepting the fact that we've got to change. You know, as I said before, innovation is at the heart of where we've got to go. And we're not the first ones to have to make these sort of changes. You know, changes in Europe have been happening to protect the environment, and we can follow suit. And, you know, it's not too hard. It is going to be different, and there's going to be a challenge. And I think that we can have it all. We can have increased profits, or at least stabilized profits, and the environment. You know, and it's interesting because people say, well, agriculture is the backbone of New Zealand's economy. And I would say the real backbone of New Zealand's economy is the environment. Because without the environment and a healthy state, we're not going to be living very well in terms of the air we breathe, the water we drink, and recreation, you know, and mahinga kai. But, you know, if the environment's not doing well, then agriculture also isn't going to be able to do well, because agriculture depends on an environment that provides water, provides soil, you know. So we all need to find a way to go forward. And I think the farming industry has a great responsibility here, and I see that the majority of industry, agriculture, is sort of putting their boots on and getting ready for the change. Some of them are dragging their feet.
Hmm. Do you have any last comments just regarding the commission report or just the farming industry and the work you're doing in general?
Yeah, I would caution people around GDP. So while GDP hasn't gone up majorly with regards to dairying over the last couple decades, about 3%, what GDP doesn't measure is pretty stark. You know, GDP, it measures progress in a way that excludes, it leaves out what's happening to the environment, both the inputs that the environment puts in, so almost like the debit that agriculture takes from the environment with regards to water and soil and good clean air and sunshine, you know, none of that's accounted for, but also the degradation that happens. So when we pollute the rivers, when we pollute the soil and the groundwater, none of that is included in GDP. So, you know, while it's a marker of progress, it's not a true marker of what's happening economically, because regional councils have to come in, taxpayers have to come in, and they have to clean up that water. And they have to clean up that air. And oftentimes, 3, 4, 5, 10 times what was got, you know, what was received in terms of profit or benefit to the economy or benefit to the GDP. So what we really need to be looking at is measurements of well-being, and we need to be taking into account what we're potentially risking with regards to future generations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.